pre-hearing conference to address scheduling and procedural matters for MUP 18001. I'm Ryan Bansal, the deputy hearing examiner. If I could ask each parties to introduce themselves, please.
For the applicant, Brandon Gribben of Hessel Fetterman.
I'm Lauren Landerholm, I guess the applicant, Sound Deckers Incorporated.
And you're represented by Mr. Gribben, or?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
My name is Joe Hurley. I'm a land use planner with the city.
And how do you spell your last name?
It's H-U-R-L-E-Y. Okay.
And I'm sorry, your first name?
It's Joe, Joseph. But I think I'm listed as Joseph, so J-O-S-E-P-H.
Thank you. And are you representing the city in this matter?
I am.
Okay.
I'm Cheryl Waldman, also his department.
Okay.
David Moring, appellant at 3444 23rd Avenue.
Thank you. All right. So the purpose of the pre-hearing conference is mostly scheduling. We do have one motion already. I want to see if there's any other pre-hearing motions, anticipated discovery, check on witnesses and exhibits that we might anticipate for the hearing, whether there's any need for issue clarification, and then look at a hearing date as well. I think we had one on the calendar, but that was for a previous hearing examiner, and with a new one, we'll need to set a new day for that. Anything else that the parties need to address as part of the pre-hearing conference?
So the applicant filed a motion to dismiss earlier today.
Okay.
So I actually have a hard copy for the examiner, so I think if it's over 10 pages, they require hand delivery.
So okay, I can take that here. Any other items that I don't have on my list already?
So the motion you're talking about, what motion was that?
I believe it was a motion to amend.
Okay, yeah, that's mine.
Yeah.
And then there was a question I wanted to bring up later, added to the agenda, regarding the actual owner of the property.
Okay, we'll put that under issue clarification.
Okay.
All right, then let's look at first pre-hearing motions. You know, before we get too far into this, I realized I didn't bring my calendar book with me, and we're operating with that now instead of the electronic calendar, and I want to make sure I have that with me, so I'll be back in just a moment.
I'm electronic, back to paper.
All right, so with the two motions that we have, the motion to amend and this motion that's been filed today, for the motion to amend, when do you think we
can the applicant's not opposing that motion.
Okay, all right. Anything from the city on that?
No.
All right, then I'll just go ahead and orally grant the motion here.
Thank you.
And just for the record, the motion to dismiss is based on the amended appeal.
Okay. Then, looking to the motion that's been filed today, does the appellant have a copy yet? Or?
Oh, no. I get the email
right.
At 11 o'clock. But
okay. All right. Is this, let's see. So we're at about 12 pages. All right. So we'll need to set a time on our calendar. I won't jump into calendaring yet. Let's start looking at the things we need to calendar. But we'll need to calendar a response date and a reply briefing date for that motion. Are there any other motions anticipated?
Not at this time, no.
No.
Okay. Do the parties plan on any discovery?
Not for the applicant.
Possibly, if depending on the owner. Discussion if required.
Okay. Well, let's switch things then so we can make some progress on that. What's your question about ownership?
Well, my understanding is that in order to file an application, you had to be the owner of the property, or you had to be the designated representative of the owner, which requires a document to be submitted to the city signed by the owner of the property. I don't have documents that convey that Sound Equities is the owner, and the information I have that I'm willing to pass out if you would like.
Well, we won't argue things so much today, so we may just be moving into something that you're going to ask them for information about? Sure. Or I don't know the nature of your question. If it can be answered quickly by the city and the applicant here today and they want to do that, then we could do that. But it may be something that, not knowing the nature of it, I don't know the timing on it yet, but we don't need to get into the full nature of the question here.
So the reason I bring the question up is looking at King County records, usually you'll see who the owner of the property is, especially if the transaction has taken place within the last few months. King County records show another individual. Also, the city's documents show a document of statement of financial responsibility by Sound Equities, and it also checks it as if it's the owner of the property. So, but I couldn't find any verification of that.
So would it be satisfactory to ask them, and if they gave you an oral response today, is that enough, or do you going to need documentation?
I would like to see some documentation.
Sounds like that's something you should be submitting for discovery then to them.
Okay.
So that would sound like we will have some discovery.
Okay.
At least for that issue.
Well, 2 points on that. First one, ownership issues is not a valid objection to the appeal. Point number two, that issue wasn't raised in the appeal at all. So to the extent it was relevant, it was waived by not raising it. So I would argue that discovery is not warranted in this situation.
So I'm not going to rule on any discovery motions. This is just an opportunity to do it. Basically, the parties generally in these forums, I don't get involved in discovery unless there's a motion brought to me. The only reason I ask about it, and I know I lifted the lid on this by asking about it, the reason I ask is purely for scheduling purposes. So, for example, someone needs to do a public records request to the city, and that's going to take 3 months for the city to respond, then I have to include that in our schedule. But with a simple request that isn't going to take a lot of time, I'm not seeing I need to accommodate that in the context of the scheduling that we're doing today. But if there's an objection to discovery, then that would have to be made at the time that the discovery request actually goes in. Since he hasn't actually made the request yet, I can't rule on the request in advance. All right, so enough said about that. I'll leave it to the parties. If you're going to do discovery, just proceed on your own. And if I need to get involved, you need to let me know by motion. Let's move on to the number of witnesses anticipated at the hearing. How about for the appellant?
I think I have a total of 7 to 8 fact or expert witnesses. Does that include, like, subpoenas for city staff, that type of thing?
Yes, that you anticipate. Now, we may discover that there's some overlap between the parties, as
right.
they'll call, but you should let me know how many you expect.
Okay, so about 7 or 8.
Okay. And do you have an idea of how many exhibits, documents you may be introducing?
About a dozen.
Okay. All right, for the applicant.
At this point, depending on whatever expert witnesses Mr. Mooring identifies, probably 3 or 4 witnesses.
Okay. And how many of the 7 or 8 that you plan on calling are expert, do you think? No one's held to the number of witnesses here, but again, this is for scheduling.
3 fact witnesses and 1 expert witness.
Okay. And then the rest maybe were city witnesses.
Right.
Okay.
Do you know what type of expert witness you're calling?
Somebody who's familiar with the city planning efforts.
And
who's not a city employee, I should say.
Okay. And for the city, how many witnesses do you anticipate?
2.
Okay.
2 or 3.
2 or 3. All right. If we go with the high numbers of estimated witnesses, even if we account for some overlap, we could head into more than a day of hearing. Oh, and I didn't ask the appellant or city about number of exhibits that you might anticipate.
Probably 4 to 6.
Do we have a number of exhibits, Cheryl?
About 4.
Okay, that doesn't change my estimate of the days then.
Yeah, and I would imagine they're largely duplicative of.
Right, yeah. Okay, all right. Then what I'll do is schedule us for 2 days. This could get all done in 1 day, but I want to make sure that our calendar is there if we carry over. We don't want to have to scramble to try to find a day somewhere in there to make that second day up. So when we get to the date of the hearing, let's go for 2 days. Before we jump into a date for the hearings, let's go back to the motion. How many, do you have any sense of how much time you would need to respond to a motion to dismiss?
What is it, like 20 pages or so?
12 with attachments.
12 with attachments. Can you have a week?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's standard.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So today is around 29, so we'll do the 5th for the response due February, and then do you want to do Friday the 9th for a reply?
Sure, that works.
So that includes weekends, or no, the 5th?
Yes, 1 week from today is the 5th.
Okay. My daughter's birthday is the 2nd, and we're going up to Canada on the 3rd and 4th. Is there any way to get an extra day out of that?
Yes, I just was going by you telling me you could do it in a week, so all right. How you got there.
I thought maybe weekdays or, but I'm sorry.
Yes, no. Why don't you give me a day when you think you're going to be ready?
How about the 7th of September?
February?
February.
Yeah.
What am I talking about?
Good. All right.
And if I could just take the weekend since.
Yes.
I imagine you will not be reviewing the motion over the weekend.
It will not be immediate. In fact, I have significant, that's what I was going to tell the parties, is you're telling me when you're going to do it because I'm going to need at least a couple weeks, even if it's a simple motion. I haven't read it yet, of course, but I've got heavy motion activities at the beginning of the month, and we're also in a transition in the office of leadership. So all of that's taking up time. The reply then will be due, are we looking at then the
Monday the 12th.
Okay, I can just do Tuesday the 13th. Sure. Give you working days that are the same amount. If you choose to work on the weekend, that's your prerogative. Anything needed for issue clarification?
I didn't know.
Okay. All right, then let's move on to scheduling a couple days for hearing. So the hearing examiner schedule is pretty solid right now, except we're really looking at, unfortunately, with the change in hearing examiners, you're going to lose a whole month in the time that you had. I can't do it in that first week of March, and then the rest of March has hearings scheduled throughout. And so April is wide open, so we could do it right at the beginning of April. But
I'm out of the country that first week of April.
Okay. Well, as soon as you want to in April, my schedule is open.
And there's no chance of any dates opening up in March?
Not at this point. There's a slim chance of something opening in. I have motions for a hearing that's going to be the week of the 5th. I'm not sure if they're even wholly dispositive motions. So yeah. I don't think that case is going away. There's been no discussion of settlement on the rest of them. So.
Does the 12th and 13th work for everyone?
April 12th, April 13th? Yes.
That's good.
Okay. All right. I have for dates then the response to the applicant's motion to dismiss due February 7th, the reply due February 13th, and then let's set the due date for witness and exhibit lists. Typically, what I'll do is go 1 week out. Well, we'll go 2 weeks out from the first day of the hearing. So, appellant, your witness and exhibit lists are due March 29. And that's also when you have to provide copies of your exhibits that are not already in possession of the city and the applicant to them.
Good. And I know different examiners have had different practices. Mm-hmm. Is it your practice to not provide copies of exhibits to the examiner, just the witness and exhibit list?
That's correct. Okay. For the Seattle office, we do not take exhibits until at the actual hearing. Yes. And I know at different hearing examiners, right. It's all over the board. So. But we don't take them until the hearing, because then that's when they get introduced into evidence, and we don't just get a big pile of exhibits we're not going to use. And then the April 5th will be the due date for the city and the applicant. Again, for that witness and exhibit lists and exchange of exhibits. Okay. And then we have the hearing for April 12 and 13. Are there any other dates that we need to identify for the parties?
So if I can I ask you again about the discovery, because I jotted down that you mentioned I could either make a motion for discovery or just work directly with the...
Typically, there's no need for a motion unless a party's refusing to respond. So if you haven't even tried to get it from them, you don't start with the motion.
Okay.
So what you need to do is make your request for discovery and see how that goes. And
can I ask for a date to get the discovery response back?
It's within 30 days. That's already set by the rules.
Okay.
So the sooner you get that out, the better. You've got, essentially, with the hearing date on the 12th and 13th, you've got ample time to engage in discovery.
Gotcha.
Right. And for any motions to be brought that are related.
I guess just one last point. Since we did have a March 1st hearing date, if we could maybe leave some sort of flexibility in the pre-hearing order that if for some reason a case is dismissed or settled, we could, revisit dates closer to the March 1st date for a hearing.
Okay. I'm willing to put that in there. Whether I remember it's in there or not is a whole other.
I might follow.
There's
up
no
with
tickler
that.
Really that yeah. says. I mean, really, if you want that, the best way to do it is for the parties to keep an eye on our calendar.
Sure.
And if you see, for example, the 5th through the 8th. Wiped out, then you've got a shot at it.
That would be the most likely week, then?
That's the only one. Keeping in mind, for example, when you look at the calendar, you won't see anything on the 12th through the 16th because you don't know that I've got motions to write on that week. So that's why it's filled, not because there's a hearing during that time.
So just a summary on question and answer. What was it again?
On the discussion we just had?
Yeah.
So the question, the applicant's representative is asking if there's an opportunity to get an earlier hearing date.
Okay.
If something opens on the calendar.
Okay.
That has to be agreed to by all the parties, and we essentially would have a second pre-hearing conference, probably by the phone, so I don't have to have everybody come in and see if the new hearing date would work. And we'd set new hearing dates and also dates due for the witness and exhibit lists. That are in accordance with that new hearing date.
So then a question, I guess, if the date for response to the my response is February 13th, what happens after that? Or the motion for dismiss?
Then you've got the applicant has an opportunity to reply to that with an additional brief.
Right.
And I will probably make a decision on that sometime within a couple weeks
Okay.
Towards the end of 2 weeks, not at the beginning of that time. We typically try to get a decision out within 21 days. I try to keep it short, around 14. So if it goes longer than 14, don't panic. I don't get it. Certainly considering it. If it's going to go longer, I always contact the parties and let you know, so you'll know where we're at on that. And I don't, was that a full dismotion or
yeah,
partial?
Full. Yeah, just
okay. The whole deal. So that could have, depending on how that's ruled on, if it's granted in part, then the case goes forward still with the same schedule. If it's granted entirely, then we don't need to worry about the case schedule. So.
Right.
Last thing, I don't know if the parties have had an opportunity to be in discussion with each other about settlement or mediation at all, but I would remind you that the hearing examiner's office does offer the opportunity for free mediation through the interlocal conflict resolution group, and so if that's something that the parties feel like that will help them get to resolution outside of the legal issues, because I can rule thumbs up or down on the legal issues, and I'm here and happy to do that. But if sometimes those are not going to address everything for the parties, and so mediation is an opportunity you want to take advantage of. And with that, I think we've covered everything.
All right,
thank you all.
Thank you.